Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Season 7, Episode 151. We have another conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation with the show hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson. So let's get started.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey.
Okay, so we're starting with the three of us. We're going to have a phenomenal guest on, but let's talk about what's happening and what's been happening for you design studio-wise, Nolan construction and permit-wise. I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, we're putting this addition onto the back of our house, and it's not a quick process, let's just say. It's not not a rush job on this one. But I just got back from Creative Pro Week in D.C., which was really good. It was, I guess, my second in-person conference back. It was the first time they were back to in-person. But as we all know, hybrid is the name of the game today. So yes, it was in-person, but we also had a lot of people joining hybridly. I don't know if that's a word remotely.
So it was really good. Let's coin it. We're it. It's hybridly.
Yeah.
Hybridly. I gave three sessions plus some help desk sessions and a 3-minute max tip thing. So it was really good. Mike Parkinson was there. Joel Simmons, Mark Heaps, Steffi, Hogan. Hogan, who we're going to have on next week, I believe, next episode. So yeah, it was a really good conference, and I learned a lot myself. How about you, Sandy?
Awesome. Well, my first on-site presentation that I was scheduled to deliver a presentation was changed at the last minute, a couple days leading up, because someone got sick. Someone on the planning team had COVID. And then this morning, I was supposed to meet with Minnesota MVPs, which we rarely get the opportunity to do. And at the last minute, someone got sick. So I guess we're not quite post-pandemic yet. Otherwise, you know, PowerPoint just celebrated its 35-year anniversary, which is pretty cool. I remember working in it shortly. I've been doing this for a long time, so I remember when it was still black and white. But a fun thing happened. I had the opportunity to speak with the Office Insider team. And so they interviewed me and posted that interview on their blog. I talked about my presentation business, my favorite PowerPoint features. Check it out. We'll post the link in our show notes. It was a fun thing. How about you, Troy?
Well, the photos of you in the Office Insider were just phenomenal. Like full photo shoots. Like those look great. What's happening?
You should
ironically,
do that.
I should do that. I should. The photos would not be glamorous. Ironically, on our last episode together, I talked that Google Slide projects were a rare thing, because they are. Well, then that a week later, like literally recorded, then a week later, a client for a large event, and we were staging it, you know, doing all the presentations, I got the word that all the presenters were using Google Slides. They had converted everything to Google Slides, or they were handed off Google Slides. I was like, whoa, because this is a live event. Now, I will say, so I spent the week running Google Slide presentations, and it's not a problem, but I'm at a loss of words. How do I say this? Google Slides in a live environment is tough because you can't quickly load them up. You also can't do a lot of the tricks you can do in PowerPoint. So we run the desktop background to match the event theme so we can drop out a slideshow. You know, it goes over to the other monitor. And on screen, no one ever knows it's different. Then we run the next show always with the exact same theme, no transition. So it just pops up, we can go. Google Slides, it's the presenter view look for Google Slides is stellar. I mean, it really is, because it does two separate windows. You run the full screen, so you don't see any of the chroming of the browser. I mean, from a technology standpoint, it's great, but it's a slow process. You have to hit escape, get out of it, close it, open the next one. And you know, the conference was like, well, no, we just need to go to the next presentation. I was like, no, we can't do that. There is a lot of steps to make this happen. Once you're in the show, we are fine. But anyway, so that was kind of what's happening. I did that. We're just busy in a good way. We're having a full upgrade to our office studio, ironically, as well, because we were having You know, it gets warm here in Southern California, and we have our network cables that we have a patch panel up in basically an attic space of our office building. And it turns out that, you know, after 5-6 years, those things start wearing
it's
out.
It's melting or bursting.
So some of the, you know, we rely on high end bandwidth, and some of the ports just aren't doing it. So we're having a guy come out, a contractor, and rewire everything so it's continuous runs from every wall socket up through the attic crawl space and back down to the server room. When it was built out, it didn't have a server room. We added that. So anyways, we have a lot of wiring going on. We're putting Cat 7 throughout, even though I was told that's overkill. It's like, but it's only like $300 more. Let's do it.
Troy, you've never been accused of overkilling it on technology. And I'll just leave that there. All right, news. A lot going on, actually. We'll kick it off with BrightSlide. This is pretty big for the Mac users. Guides, you know, that whole BrightSlide guides thing? Finally, we have it on the Mac. Now, not going to go into it, but some things were done under the hood to allow it to happen. So if you use BrightSlide on the Mac, you can now create your grids, edit them, do all the... It's really one of the best features of it. And you may not see it immediately because naturally it's come only to because this is actually a Microsoft thing under the hood. It's not fully released yet. It's only for the beta, the Fast Insider. But just give it a couple weeks or so if you don't see it, and it will be there. BrightSlide will automatically update that. Also, a few other items in BrightSlide. Now remove text box margins is an option. You can do that on a per text box, on a per slide, or I think per the whole deck. So like with one click, you can take all your text margins.
Well, that's
out.
Handy.
Yeah. Those inset margins, okay. which I don't like at all. And most professional designers
eliminate them in every template.
So this is so timely. I only discovered that feature, I'm going to say like couple of weeks ago, it seems, and it was because of the conversation about what's coming to the Mac. So we're on a separate email chain. I was like, wait, that's a thing. I have already added that to my QAT, and I have a blog post coming out about it, because I'm like, this is the most magical, simple time saver, because I'm constantly removing margins. And it's awesome that it's coming on the Mac, but because of the Mac is how I learned about it. I didn't even know it was in there.
And also multi-painter, or I should say the copy size position, the right-click copy size position, mm-hmm. position is being rolled into the match size multi-painter. We're going to get back to you on this one because I'm actually not a huge fan of how this has been implemented. And there might be some, I'm not saying that I have, can't be able to change it, but there might be some updates to it. And I personally just need to figure out how to use it. And I haven't perfectly figured that out yet. So the usability is different if you're used to that copy size position.
I am.
It's different than the Windows side. Right-click? I'm not a fan of the Windows side, so I still use a couple other add-in solutions to accomplish that.
Yeah, the way you used to be able to, and again, you may not see this update because BrightSlide, it is an auto update, but it's only mm-hmm. every 30 days. So like on my desktop, I'm still on the old version, but my laptop, I have the new version.
Oh, you can force it. You can just go into the...
You can always force it.
But if you're about or help or something.
Yeah, you can always force it. But if you don't see this stuff...
I'm going to miss that if that's changing.
I'm hoping we're going to be able to figure it out. I mean, it's still available, but in a different way. And I don't think it's quite as usable or quite as efficient.
That's an interesting...
Anyway,
decision.
So those are a couple
okay.
of things.
Okay, I've got one that no one is going to argue is bad, because this is so editing speaker notes in Presenter View is now available. You probably don't see it on your version, by the way. It's only on the beta build, so I'm using it on my Surface computer, which is the only non-corporate computer we have. So I'm waiting for it to come. But so here's a funny story about this. So first of all, the news is, you can now edit the text in the speaker notes while in Presenter View. You just click over there and you just type away. It also has bolding, italics. It does not have color. It does not have it doesn't have the ruler, so you can't adjust your bullets and stuff as well. You can still, if you're smart, go into the Presenter Notes view, like the whole view, not the one. Anyways, so everyone asks us, all three of us, hey, what does a Microsoft MVP do? You know, we get that all the time. Well, here's what it means. This is the perfect public acceptable thing to talk about. It means that MVPs are more frustrated than anyone else on the planet because this is an example of amazing news item. And I was so happy to have conversations. I was invited into conversations about what they can do about updating presenter view. I will not say when those conversations occur. By the way, it wasn't years ago. This is a pretty fast moving element, but I've had to stay quiet about this feature that I know is coming. I have been waiting for it to come because every time I go to a show and I have to jump out. Now, I also have a workaround for it. But anyways, it's like as an MVP, I know what's coming out, but I'm under NDA, so we can't talk about it. We got some of these things. So now I can just say, listen, people, the world has finally gotten better. I mean, maybe 20 years late, but it's gotten better.
Well, of course.
Good job, Troy.
I just have to point out the speaker notes that's been available on the Mac for a long time.
It has. And I didn't know that until you had mentioned it. And I was actually,
So Nolan great. And Troy, give examples of why that's such an awesome feature.
I'm going to leave it to Troy. I do much fewer events for Troy, but you know what? Okay. Obviously in an event situation, but I'll just put this out. If you're presenting just, you know, to your team or whatever, and you're in slideshow mode and somebody says something like, can you tell me more about that later? Now you can just put it in the notes.
Oh yeah. Notes capture is great.
Yeah. Just do that for yourself. Real time. Like, mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, we do it. I mean, we're scripted, especially in the virtual world. We're following presenters who are supposed to script in all their stuff and maybe they have a video next. Well, they don't think to put, you know, show video or something in the notes.
Right.
So we, as the person running the presentation, know what's going on. So we are constantly jumping out. Actually, we put the file on Teams, so it's a collaboration, and then we edit the notes on a whole nother computer that's signed into the same one. So we're in edit view over there doing all this. So we do them live, but it's a process. Now anybody can just jump in there and do it. It's pretty smooth. We'll put the article, the Office Insider overview of this. The Office Insider site has a really good explanation and demos and examples. I'm just really excited about it. This is like big news to me. Like, this will make my life so much easier because I do live in presenter notes often, like daily. So very excited.
Well, how about this one? I know fonts are a constant subject that comes up in every single podcast
subject,
recording.
Misery, they all go together.
Yes, exactly. Now, organizations like, let's say, Kellogg and their Kellogg font, it's a custom font. They can now upload those fonts to PowerPoint for the web. And I think it has to be done via SharePoint. Have either of you had the opportunity to work with this? I'm still afraid of it, but because I don't work in PowerPoint for the web. Right.
Yeah, and I'm afraid of SharePoint. And,
there you go.
SharePoint's getting better. SharePoint is just a word. People access it without accessing. When I said I uploaded to Teams, we're uploading it to SharePoint. You just know it's SharePoint. Mm-hmm. It's like a new
just a word.
So here's the thing about that.
Poisonous cobra.
It's just a swear word.
Here's the thing about that. It, to my knowledge, now I'm speaking without, I think this is an enterprise level thing. So if you're on the enterprise level account of Office 365, you put it on your SharePoint, which means that enterprise level, everything, all employees can get access to that content. I don't think it's for the small business where I could put it on my SharePoint site because I have Office. Everybody with an Office 365 account has SharePoint available. It doesn't work the way you'd want it. Like if I put it on my SharePoint, I hand a file off to you, Nolan, you go to open it. It's not going to find the file on my SharePoint and load it for you. It's within an ecosystem. It is a big step, but it's not going to solve all the dilemmas.
It's like instead of pushing the font to everybody's computer. Instead, now it's on SharePoint and it's automatically downloaded.
For people within an organization, I'm sure that is evolving or will evolve, hopefully.
Sure.
Yeah. So they're, again, as with anything, they're moving in the right direction, baby steps. Mm-hmm.
Right? And there's a cool little, when you do the drop down, it shows up in its own little section there. You know, I'm not totally thrilled with the way everything was laid out in that new fonts dialogue, but I think there is progress being made. And I think for big companies, it's really cool.
I've got another font one. Julie Terberg has a good article up on compatibility fonts. And I imagine most people don't know what these are. This is Microsoft acknowledges this, and Julie, as usual, when it comes to fonts, helps break it down and explain it to the average person. But we know about cloud fonts, right? You guys know what compatibility fonts are, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Cloud fonts are what, you know, your Avenir, Next LT Pro, whatever, where it's a service that you can choose them actively. And then if you send it to somebody else, even though they don't have them installed, they will download automatically from Microsoft's service. Fine. So we know about that. But there's this whole other universe of fonts, and we don't know how many of them are. We don't know how many. We don't know exactly what they are. But if you have them on your computer, and an example would be a Google font like Lado. I believe this is a compatibility font. So you download that from Google. Sorry, this description is so long. But you download that from Google on your desktop. So it's not a cloud font. It's just a local font. You use it in your presentation. Works fine for you. You send that presentation to somebody else. They don't have it installed. But it's a compatibility font, which means Microsoft will go ahead and send it to the user like a cloud font. They won't say it. It's not technically a cloud font, but it is a, quote, compatibility font. And it's great that they can do it. It's just a very mysterious process, and you can't really rely on what is compatible. I mean, you could test it, obviously. There's no current list of them.
There's actually this crazy website page Microsoft has that lists them off, but it's not updated, so I don't even...
Oh, they do list them.
Well, there's a huge, like a white paper almost that kind of lists them. Okay. But the other thing about this, so compatibility fonts are just font replacements. You know, it's taking a font, I don't mm-hmm. know, and it's replacing with something that should be the same. It's getting smarter about font replacements. And in that, there's actually some little tags now when you have the font drop-down list that'll tell you if it's running a compatibility. It's still not a font audit and telling you what's going on.
Will you get a little icon?
Oh. Yeah, there's like a little, it doesn't tell you what, it just says compatibility font and like missing font. It now helps you or will be coming.
On your desktop?
I don't see it on my computer yet. So I'm only reading it from their article. I see. That is a great, you know, that might be PowerPoint for the web online version, because it's anyways.
Well, I think you just described it better than I did, but
Julie's article is the one to go. We'll put the link to Julie's. It's a long read.
And it's just that term compatibility. It's like, what does that mean?
So I just think it's a font replacement mm-hmm. that's being smarter yeah. replaced.
Okay.
Well, speaking of, I've got another one here. We have so much news. We have such a great conversation, but I got to mention this one, but only in a very high level. Microsoft acquired a program called Clipchamp. Are you guys familiar? Is anybody out there heard of Clipchamp?
They still owe me money for my, they still owe me money.
Okay. So it's a video. They acquired a video editing application at the end of 2021. So the end of last year, they bought it. I discovered it a few months ago, and I will say, Clipchamp is definitely worth downloading and potentially making it into your everyday workflow. That being said, it is like a freemium software, which I don't think is going to last forever. But right now you download the base one, mm-hmm. the base install, and then you can pay, which sounds like Sandy did, for like an annual fee to get all the extra features. Now, also on the free version, Microsoft did upgrade it to be 1080p output. It used to be like limited to this horrible, well, they were thinking social media. It was very low res. But I do have the install. Microsoft extended an offer, so I'm very excited. I've been playing with it. But I'll tell you what, and it also will become pre-installed on Windows 11 soon. So they're basically ditching the old Windows Media whatever software. I can't even think of the name of it right now. But this one's pretty. It's also a really unique hybrid. It's all browser-based, or you can make it a local install, which is what I've been using. But as far as a video editor goes, it has some very cool features. It's very performance oriented. I just, I've used it for several live projects already just because I've been working with them. I'm like, I wonder if I could do this. I had a whole bunch of Instagram videos for a automobile company. I had to pull videos from their Instagram, stitch them together. I was like, I'm going to use this, Clipchamp. And it worked like a champ. There we go. How's that? But I also used it to transcode a 148 gigabyte Apple ProRes encoded file on a Windows machine. So first of all, Windows doesn't like Apple ProRes codec because Apple doesn't extend the codec licensing to Windows. It actually recognized it, first of all, which was the reason I did it. And then second of all, I got to re-encode it. Of course, you're re-encoding, so you're always losing a little bit of data, but I got to re-encode it to an H.264. The file size dropped to about 8 gigs because the ProRes was running at like 20, the bit rate was 20 megabits. I dropped it to 10. Reality is it could have been, anyways, there's a lot there. I was pretty impressed with it. I will say I gave it a very complex thing to do and it did it. So I will talk more about this. We have a whole blog series kind of overviewing it because I think we're going to move it to our standard workflow for all of our design team. But Clipchamp is on the news front as something that is now available, but I don't recommend paying for the upgraded service at this point. I don't know if it's really that great. What else we got?
There's a new small little compression tool for PDF on the Mac. Microsoft Office MVP, Jim Gordon, just released a small free app. It uses the Mac OS Apple generator. So there's some things with hyperlinks are removed because of that. But anyway, we're going to put a link to it in the download. If you just need a real simple like drag and drop, tool, this is the one. You don't have to get too complicated with other software just to compress a PDF.
Okay, I'll close out with a new podcast that's on the horizon. It's it's called Presentation Hell Podcast, and Jim Antra hosts corporate CEOs who talk about the nightmare that presentations present their organizations.
I love this. I did not know about it, and I can't wait to listen to it.
I did not know anything about this. This is already going on my, can I find it? I'm opening Spotify right now to see if I can find it.
It's been around for a while, right?
It's about
a dozen episodes, looks like. Okay.
Yeah.
But good podcast will release with 4 or 5 episodes out the gate to make sure it's got some traction. So this is called Presentation Hell
Podcast. And what I think is awesome about this is when you have a CEO of a corporation who's aware of the importance of presentation and presentation organization and the strategy, you're going to end up with some better stuff.
I imagine this is a mix. And these are short. These are like 12, 14 minutes. I imagine this is a mix of VC pitches as well as like product launches and anywhere time they fell on their face. Well, I can't wait. I can't wait to start listening.
The 2022 Present to Succeed conference occurred April 7th and 8th, so just weeks ago, it seems, and it's the second annual event for this one. It is a fully online conference, and I personally believe it lives up to its tagline, a lineup of world-class speakers you can't find anywhere else. The duo behind this event are co-founders Boris Ristov and Eva Nachkova. I'm getting closer every time I try and say that. And well, anyways, for this episode, we are very excited to have a conversation where we manage the global time zones and we have Boris joining us. So thank you, Boris.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, hello. How is you've had a few weeks at this point, I think, to decompress and relax, hopefully a little bit, although I'm sure you're probably getting back to your other work. But how is life post-conference and you want to give us sort of the top line? Like, how are you feeling at this point a few weeks later?
I feel excited about what's about to come, to be very honest, in 2023.
Looking forward to the next.
Yes, for me, the strange thing was that even in January this year, when we were 4 months before this year's event, for some reason, I was only seeing 2023 already. Because for us to go and finally do a hybrid in the way that we want to do it is a huge milestone. And the preparation for the 2023 event started altogether with the 2022 event, which is very, very strange. Like, we went to the venue where the event will be April 28th next year. September 2021, I think.
I didn't know that. You're looking now because you started as online only year one, year two is online only. So year three will be hybrid, will be in person. Okay,
finally.
We didn't know that.
I think
that is big news.
Yeah, this is first time. No, it's not first time. I'm sorry. This is not first time someone saying it, but it is already on the website. Even though our website is up and running and people already from the US are buying tickets to come to Sofia, Bulgaria.
Wow.
Need to plan ahead. Right. Yes.
already. The website shouldn't be considered final because the brand for 2023 is not ready yet. We had major issues with the branding agency that we hired to produce the branding for 2023. More or less, we fired them. So we don't have a brand for 2023 right now. And we are currently working on finding someone else to do the brand. And so, yeah, you can see the event that's coming up next. You can see the landing page, but that's not how the event would look like. That's what I have to say.
Well, okay. I'm looking. I mean, I looked at the website, obviously in preparation for this, but also, you know, after the conference. And I just noticed now at the very bottom, it says choose your ticket type in person or online. Mm-hmm. I did not know that until you just said it. This is great. Wow.
So that's great. That's really great to know. So in person, I mean, do you want to give us any more sort of insight into what that's going to look like before we jump back to 2022?
Yeah, absolutely. Correct. Exactly. So far we are not exactly done already with some of the major points of the event because we are currently, yesterday we actually went to the venue again. You can imagine, and Troy and I believe everyone here, probably also the listeners, have heard at least that the prices for venues changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. What ended up happening is that more or less they called us and said, you want to do this event next year again? And we're like, yeah. And they said, we need to meet because we need to discuss some
The venue numbers. You've been at, the virtual studio place you've been at?
No.
The hybrid one.
Okay. Oh, no. Troy, when you see the venue that we are going to be in 2023, I mean, it is a masterpiece, and it is the most boutique and premium location in the whole country. It's also currently, right now as we speak, being renovated, and it will be ready for September the 15th this year. So we are going to be one of the first people to actually use the new designs and the new layouts and everything that they're preparing there. And it will be very cool. I think I saw some 3D renders. It is going to be really, it was great before. Now it's just them going and saying, okay, let's see what the next level is because we haven't done anything in the last 5 years here. So they didn't change anything for 5 years. And now they said, okay, it's high time. Plus they have a lot of money to spend. So let's be honest. They have a lot of money they can spend. But they're spending them wisely. So the venue will be the best venue in the country. It holds up, it can take up to 900 people in house. So two rooms, one around 500 people and the other 350. So that will be the venue itself. That's guaranteed. It will be that one. It will be expensive, but hey, come on. We either do it or not. It
sounds expensive, but
Boris, tell us just really quick, so everybody listening, what do you do outside of the Present to Succeed conference? Tell us about, you know, your company, what you do, what you drive, where you go on the weekend. Be a little personal here. Tell us about you.
Okay. Someone knows something about what I drive. All right. So let's go with what we do. So Present to Succeed is one of it started as a side project. It's not a side project anymore because it's a huge thing for us. Now, for sure, it is not a side project for 2023. It's a major, one of the most important projects for us during the year. Otherwise, I run presentation agency, as many of you guys. I'm involved in the presentation space from, I would say, the last 6 years. The presentation agency is called 356 Labs. And what we do is we build presentations and we deliver trainings on the topic of presentations for many of the biggest brands out there. This is what I do. In terms of what I drive, well, that's an interesting question. Let's just say that I drive my dream, one of my dream cars since I was a child. I indeed own a Porsche since 2 years now. So yeah, I drive a 718 Cayman S, blue graphite. Uh-huh. Very nice car. Sandy, I think you're also a fan of the brand. At least I
am.
Know you're a fan of the brand. I think you're also an owner of something also there. Yes. But yeah, this is what I drive, and yeah, and this is what I like, except for and outside of the present to succeed, this is what we are doing. Like 356 Labs is a major part of our daily lives.
It's fantastic. And you're obviously able to manage both. Both seem like a full-time job.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, we also managed to hire some great people to help us out with it. Next year, the event won't be run by me, because in the last 2 years, it was me behind the scenes doing many things. In 2023, we managed to hire the best event team, the best event manager in the country. So she will be responsible for and making sure that the hybrid event will run as we expect it to run, meaning extremely smoothly for everyone
out
there.
Well, I'm hoping to make it on site. That is something I've already looked into. My husband is actually very interested in traveling with me. Wow. But because I could not be at this year's event, I would like, could you give us like a quick recap of, again, who you're targeting? Is it the business audience again? What are the stats, the number of registrations, the number of sessions, you know, just the down and dirty stuff?
Yeah, so our event, in the same way as last year, it was never aimed or intended for the presentation persona, the presentation people, the presentation industry, the presentation agencies, etc. These people for us is a byproduct. They always come as a byproduct of what we do, because even if it wasn't for, even if someone else was organizing the event in the same way as the presentation summit exists, we don't organize the presentation summit, but hey, come on, like it's the same industry. We need to be there. So we always end up having presentation experts joining us outside of the speakers, I mean, right? Outside of the speakers.
But as guests, as attendees.
Yes, as attendees, correct. Mm-hmm. But normally, and what we are aiming at is and are the business people, the HRs, the marketing people, the salespeople, the IT guys, the project managers. We target them. And we like to say that this event is for the person that is being asked to present, whether they like it or not. How I like to call it. So if you moving on to your question in regards to attendees and everything else, so this year we managed to sell more or less the same amount of tickets, a little bit less than last year. So we managed to sell just a little bit less than 3,000 tickets. Almost 2,100 people joined us live for those 2 days. The other 800 or 900 people, we are already looking at some data, and the recordings are being consumed in such scale, in such a volume that it is crazy. I mean, it is crazy. Like on the first week after the event, the recordings were already consumed by more than 1,300 people.
Wow.
In the first week.
Right.
So I was like, wow, this is, a lot of people expected and got their tickets because of the recordings, would say.
That's a definite business practice now. I think it's a smart move to embrace it.
Yeah, in terms of the session number, I would say that this year we listened to the feedback of last year. Actually, this whole event, 2022, was all about taking the audience's feedback and trying to implement as much of it as we can. So one of the biggest points that we got out of from last year was that not that many people like the fact that online we had 45-minute sessions all across the both days, right? So we were like, okay, let's try and have many more sessions, but shorter sessions, and let's see how people will react then. Of course, if you now look at the data, there are some people that are saying, you know, Boris, Eva, some topics deserve longer time, longer sessions. And I'm like, okay, where is the perfect middle here? What's going on? What is the, is there a perfect middle at all? But we had more than, I would say, I don't know exactly the number, that is strange, but I would say that if last year we had almost 40 speakers, that means that this year we had more. So it will be probably at least 40 sessions, at least. This is the same, by the way, if you look at it carefully, you probably remember that last year we did Friday and Saturday, mm-hmm. right? And once we saw the data behind it, there were a lot, because we saw a drop, a significant drop, I would say, from the second day, from the Saturday. And we more or less looked at the data, looked at the feedback forms, and there were like a few people that said more or less said, Saturday is my family day. Mm-hmm. That's how it sounded. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, then this year we need to do Thursday and Friday, right? So that there is no Saturday. And so again, we are looking at the data now, and you would see that on the second day, even though that the second day had incredible speakers in both tracks, you would see a drop again, right? It's not that big as last year, but there was a drop again. And we were like, shouldn't we consider a one-day event then? Mm. And that's why next year we are going to experiment again, and we're going to go for one day and see the reaction. And then we'll analyze again.
Oh, so it is.
I did see that on the website.
Is that 8 hours? 8 hours of content? Is it 12 hours of content? Or are you going to be a CNN and run 24?
It will be 8 hours. It will be 8 hours only. Now, how are we going to stream it? We are going to make sure that it's next year. We are going to try and do the evergreen type of thing, right? The recordings. And then because Canva, for example, were like, hey, we have so many customers in Australia, but we don't want to invite them because the event is not live and we don't have recordings immediately. And I was like, okay, next year we are going to fix this. This year, we didn't have the capacity to do that anymore. But next year, we'll probably be able to record, get the sessions immediately and push them on the platform immediately so that people in other time zones, very different time zones, are going to be able to just consume them.
Well, I'm not doing a business pitch here, Boris, but we probably should talk. I have a pretty popular corporate platform and we have all recordings live in 20 minutes at the most.
We can talk, definitely.
No, it's possible. Yeah, and that's the one thing that actually caught me is that you move from one platform basically to another type for the records, and it's a little confusing, I think, for end attendees. It's confusing for me, and I know how most platforms work, and be a little frazzling.
So imagine, by the way, the following. So we were using Hopin last year, mm-hmm. and we were super happy with Hopin. That's why we used Hopin this year again. Mm-hmm. And we were super happy with how the overall event went. However, last year we gave them feedback and said, hey guys, almost all of your competitors are having the recordings almost immediately after the respective session ends. So what are you doing, right? This is a key feature here. And they implemented a fix. That's not a complete fix, because what they end up doing right now is that they are producing the recording almost immediately. But what they end up doing actually is that they have the whole day in one big video.
Yeah.
And that big video is 8 hours long, it's and you tough. Need to scroll through it, which mm-hmm. is super, super not cool. Plus, the other problem that we were reported and being told is that there were people that tried to, let's say, go to the fourth or fifth hour, let's say, because I managed to write down the starting and ending time of each session in the description, more or less like the YouTube sections, right? Where you know, okay, in between minute 5 and 7, there is this thing, right? So I did that on the next day. But there were people that reported to us that the video buffering is just not working well for them.
Well, yeah, they're trying to buffer a crazy huge file. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we reported that to Hopin, and they said that a fix is coming for that too. But yeah, our event is over. So it's great that a fix is coming for next year. But what we wanted to do, and the reason why we moved the recordings, as you mentioned, to another platform that's called Teachable, is because we wanted to know. We wanted to know something else. We wanted to see the data behind the recordings in way more detail, in much more detail than what Hopin is able to give us. So we wanted to see per person, right? Everyone with individual accounts. We wanted to see how are people and whether or not people are consuming the recordings, which recordings, how many times, all of that stuff, so that we know who to market the event to next year. Because if you think about it, if you are one of the people that entered into the platform once and you watch two recordings, it's one thing. If you entered into the platform 10 times and you watch the storytelling recordings, all of them three times, maybe you care about the topic a lot. And then we are going to create an audience out of it and say, hey guys, the next year we're going to have some incredible storytelling sessions and we're going to market the event in front of you through the storytelling. So we are just trying to be, how can I say it, clever, data-driven, whatever. It's just that we wanted to see a lot of data behind the consumption of the recordings because we know there is such. But last year, during the first year, because it was a side project, we were not able to bring that platform up and running on time. And so it was already late for us to do it last year. And I'm super happy that this year we finally managed to do it.
Thinking back, and you were talking about getting the stats from who's watching which recordings, are there any... Sorry, that was my robot. are there any sessions that really stand out for you or for the attendees?
Other than
go on.
Just
yeah, go on.
Yes, exactly. Other than Nolan and Troy.
Nolan, Troy, listen carefully here. The most interesting part is that the storytelling track is always the most anticipated and always the most consumed one. This was the same case last year. It was the same case this year. Now, the second track that gets the most hits, visits, consumption, etc., is the public speaking track. Which, by the way, and then is the design, and then is the tools. Which, by the way, is yet again showing you that almost no one cares, or a lot of people think they're already good enough with their presentation design. That's my two cents on the topic. Yet, by the way, when you see them going to the sessions of no one, of everyone else who presented, everyone is like, oh my God, I didn't know that this is possible. Oh my God, wow, this is incredible. Really, is that since when PowerPoint can do that? And then you see that if you get them in, they are amazed. However, in order for you to get them in, it's hard. They think they know it already. They think that they don't have anything to improve on. And that is just mind-boggling. At least for me, it is really...
So you need the right hook to get them in.
I think that's fascinating.
It actually really is fascinating. I mean, but at the same time, it may not be the most most surprising. Because I think if we're talking about PowerPoint, PowerPoint specifically, it is that kind of program that nobody's ever been trained on. Nobody ever thinks they need to be trained on. And so... It just is. It's just sort of, it's like email. It's like, do you need to be trained on email? Well, no, I use it every day. Like, what's there to know? Right. So, well, maybe I want to learn to, write a better email or, how to, be better at grammar. But it's just sort of that thing. I think, I don't know, maybe that's my pop psychology.
Well, I understand that.
Maybe. But we'll next year, by the way, we'll do something different. And yeah, this is not public yet, but let's go with it next year because we
now
have,
it is.
And now it is. It will be next year. What we are going to do is we are actually going to merge the topics. So we are going to have two rooms only. So we don't have four rooms so that we run four tracks in parallel. We will have two rooms and two tracks in parallel. And so we are going to merge the storytelling and the public speaking in one. And the design and the tooling in the other. because if you think about it, design and tools are very much kind of connected, right? Mm-hmm. Super connected.
Maybe it's not about the tools. Maybe it's how to be more efficient.
And yeah, I will be very curious to see what's going to happen then.
I get it. I'm not surprised, like Nolan said.
Part of the reason for sure, I think, is that these thoughts that Nolan had, hey, this is PowerPoint. Why would I need a training? Like, come on. I know this. I use this in school. Come on. I know it.
You should see my slides.
Yeah. I think it does. It just has a reputation as a very simplistic, less featured program. Like that, people just think it's very basic. And I think that, and of course, because they see things, well, they don't see impressive things with it, so they just assume it can't do things, and so they just assume it has much stricter limits. And I think a lot of what we train on is that it's just a much more powerful program than you realize.
Yeah. The other thing that we, by the way, and I may end up reaching out to you guys for that one. The other option, by the way, that we have, and that's why I said that we are still not ready with many things that are fundamental for the event, is that the other option that we have is that we can actually merge both of the rooms into one big one. And if we build a very cool agenda in one room, people will be kind of pushed to go to the design sessions, And I believe that if we bring up some really cool design sessions into the event, then what we will achieve, I think, at the end, is that we will help many people discover what Nolan said that, or what Sandy said that, hey, there is another world. There is another level to this. So we're still thinking about it.
Well, let's talk about some of the challenges. Like, were there any specific challenges? I know you and I had talked about the war in Ukraine, for example, limiting some of your attendance. So you can talk technical issues, geopolitical, issues. What did you sort of experience anything this year?
I don't know where to be honest to start with when you talk about the things that we were hit with. Absolutely. So let's start with the obvious one. The obvious one was the war in Ukraine and that super unfortunate situation that happened there. Unfortunately, I have friends there because back then in my IT career, I went in Kiev 2 or 3 times, in Kharkov, in other places. So this hit us. This, like, our event, when this happened, I was like, Jesus, our event doesn't mean anything, like when you have in mind what's going on in there. And when I heard from one of the his name is Dennis, when I heard from him that he was with his wife and 2-year daughter, they were in a bunker, and then they ran out of Kiev to the western border so that they more or less survive. It was like, why are we doing this event again? It's just crazy. It is insane. And then all of the consequences from this tragedy that's happening there, of course, hit us. But we were at some point, we surrendered and we said, you know what? We don't care anymore. It is what it is. Things are so much more important. There are so many more important things that our event, sure, it won't double, right? Because our plan was to double the event. This is our main goal here. But we weren't able to do this. And one of the main reasons why that happened was because of what happened in Ukraine. So you will see that we had customers who we were talking with HR people, right? When we sell the event, we talk with HR people. They buy the biggest number of tickets for their employees. And when you see what ended up happening, it was actually the HR people that ended up being the busiest. And what they were busy with was to try and get their people out of Ukraine. So we had customers, I won't name names, where the HR person called me in the beginning of April and she was like, my team hasn't stopped working 24/7 in the last month and a half. This was the first week of April. This was the first week that we know we'll be working only 12 hours per day. right? Just think about that. This is insane. And then you are trying to sell tickets to them about the conference. It's just not happening at all. So we were hit by that with, I would say, 5 or 6 major customers here. Then we were hit with that in Romania, where a lot of people went in. So a lot of Ukrainians, a lot of Ukrainian people went in Romania to just cross the border there to try and find a safer place. And so every company in Romania and every HR in Romania and our partners in Romania, just on the 3rd or 4th day of the war, I received an email. We will not be able to sell any tickets here. All of the HR people and all of the people responsible for such type of initiatives and similar things like the conference are now involved and trying to help as many people as possible. So Romania was like just crossed out. Then that same thing happened more or less in Greece for some reason, and obviously in Bulgaria for sure. But that itself, you cannot control, right? I mean, how can we do something about that? Like, what can we do? We were thinking about some other options to, yeah, we were thinking of so many other options, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. It just happened. And that was one of the biggest issues for sure.
Well, I know Troy was scheduled to present live. Wow, my voice just cracked. Present live, but at the last minute, you had a scheduling conflict. So you recorded yours, but everything went off smoothly, right?
It was wonderful. Yes. It was a really, really
It went
great.
Really well. By the way, one of the biggest issues, I would say, if we managed to, like, if we exclude what happened in Ukraine, was just imagine my thoughts and feelings when last year, our top 3 customers who bought the most tickets this year, all of them said, we are not buying tickets this year.
Wow.
And throughout the whole year, the same companies and the same people were constantly supporting us, constantly telling us, hey, whenever you're ready, just let us know. And when we were ready, they were like, priorities changed. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, come on. It's like that resistant phase, resistance phase that kicks in you, right? It's like you don't want to believe it. It's
human resistance to change.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when that happened, we were like, oh my God. And then on top of it, you guys would know it because it was a global pandemic. You will be mind blown what we went through in terms internally, in terms of our resources. Every single week. Every single week from October up until the last day of the event, we had people, and not just one person on our team, multiple people sick. Every single week. It was crazy. It was like someone was trying to do as much damage to us as they could, you know? Like 2 of our designers are sick for 14 days. And you're like, oh my God, this is crazy, because we also have some other business to do for our other customers. Then they come back. They're like taking half a day to kind of understand where they were, what's going on, etc. And then on the next day, another designer is off with COVID and now they have to stop working for 10 days. And then on the next day, another one is with COVID for another 10 days. And I was like, what's going on in here? Like, come on, guys. Why is this happening? And then you try to hire freelancers and there are no freelancers to hire. It was crazy. It was crazy.
Sorry. But it was a success. You did an amazing job.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully people liked it. Hopefully people enjoyed it, learned a lot. I personally haven't seen the design track still, the tools track still. The design and the public speaking tracks, haven't seen them yet.
Oh, that's right, because you're working. You don't get to enjoy like everyone else.
To be very honest, I want to see the sessions at our event. Let's be very, how can I say it? I'm super curious to see all of those sessions. And I would probably set a calendar appointment for myself in the upcoming weeks, because I'll definitely catch up. But I heard only great things about both the design track and the public speaking track. We'll be right back.
Okay, phenomenal, guys. Just phenomenal. The event itself, Present to Succeed, was phenomenal. Hey, Present to Succeed will be April 28th, a one-day event next year. Side note, my birthday. Definitely another fantastic conference in the presentation and presenting space. I mean, it's definitely worth the price of admission, even if you're like me and most of the sessions are viewed afterwards because of time zones. And well, thank you, Boris, for talking with us. This is a major undertaking. A conference of this level is not, I mean, I'm on the other side. I see what meeting planners go through. It's a lot. So, hey, the presentation world is better for all of your efforts. Let's jump over to Pro and Tech Tips.
Okay, I'm going to kick off Pro and Tech Tips. I'm going to start with Kurt DuPont, you know, the founder of Presentation Point. This has been out for a while, but he has a free PowerPoint add-in called Breakpoint. And it's just, you know, how often when you're on news groups, I'm on the Reddit news group pretty often, and people are always asking how can they build a countdown timer? Well, go to the link in our notes and download the PowerPoint add-in called Breakpoint. It gives countdowns. You can have a clock on there. It even has up-to-date weather for your zip code. It's a pretty cool little tool.
This was a tip I picked up from David Blattner, actually, because I just got back from Creative Pro Week, and he gave a workflow, a quick tip for doing a workflow from PowerPoint to InDesign. Now, you could use this for other things, but it relied on two things. One I knew about, one I didn't really know about. So you've got a big PowerPoint file. First thing he did was he turned it into a zip file and then did the zip trick to access all the images. So he's converting from PowerPoint to InDesign without using, you know, extra software, which exists for. But so first you do the zip trick and you get your folder of images, which can then be batch dropped into a PowerPoint, into an InDesign file, which is cool. But then the text, what he did was he exported the PowerPoint to RTF, an RTF file. And it doesn't take images, it just takes the text. But then you have a single file of all your text that you can then similarly batch drop into InDesign or to Word or to whatever. And so with those two items and using some, you know, find and replace style things in InDesign, he was literally able to sort of recreate some slides very quickly. And it was kind of fascinating to be able to get that information out. So the zip trick and also export to RTF if you just need the text.
That's a great, yeah, InDesign world, David Blattner, it all goes together. Okay, I'm going to go with, and you guys are looking at it, you that are the three of you, the Elgato Face Cam. It's their webcam. It's the Elgato webcam. Have I talked about this before? Maybe I'm redoing this one. I don't know. So I've got a couple of these now, and we're getting a couple more. They're a little bit larger than most webcams. It does not have a microphone. It's all about the image quality. It's and also the software with it. I mean, it is just stellar. It's I don't know, $200, maybe $250. I can't remember what I bought it for. It's the quality of it is just stellar. So if you're looking for a new webcam, I'm going to say the Elgato Face Cam is definitely the highest one in the running. And I actually pulled out my, you know, several thousand dollar DSLR that goes in through a, you know, an HDMI capture. This thing has just as good a quality. So there, I'll put a link to it. But if you're looking for a webcam and you're not going to go cheap, highly endorse this one as a solution. It is just great. Boris, what do you got for us? Pro, tech tip, something interesting in life?
I would say that after the event, I was hit by nostalgia. And so I was born in 1989. And so I was more or less when I try. Come on. So what my life more or less was all about in the first years that I remember myself was the so-called Need for Speed Porsche Unleashed game. I don't know how many of you know about that game, but probably at least Sandy is aware about the game, or at least have heard that there is a game about Porsche.
Yes.
I more or less went through this game. I personally have, like, I can remember that I went through it from start to finish at least 30 times. At least. That's probably why I'm a huge Porsche fan since I was a child. So in the last few months after the event was over, probably because of the amount of work that we went through or whatever, nostalgia hit me about those old Porsche models. And one in particular, Sandy, I don't know if you know the 996. The one with the ugly headlights, right? Mm-hmm. So if I am about to say any tip or whatever or something from something that's related to life, I would say, hey, everyone, if you don't know what a Porsche 996.2 is, go ahead and check it out. I think that for some of you, it will make you think that even though at the beginning everyone was questioning this model, when you see it 20 years later or 30 years later, you're like, that car looks special. So I'll stop there.
So the end of that story is, that's what you're driving now?
No, I still have the 718 Cayman S. But I would laugh if someone gives me a 996. For sure.
You take it in a pinch.
If possible.
This is Troy from TLC Creative Services. We're a professional presentation design agency. Check it out, tlccreative.com. We have a whole virtual side where we do virtual events. We do the attendance side. We don't do the virtual production. So we work for production companies in that respect. And then the blog, the PowerPoint blog, been on a little bit of a hiatus, kicking back into gear now that life is kind of more on track and we're getting things under control. But hey, thanks for listening to the presentation podcast.
This is Nolan from Nolan Haynes Creative. You can check out our site, nolanhaynescreative.com, where you can find lots of goodies for free download, as well as information about our training and design services. And if you are looking for any of that, Jeff, definitely drop us a line.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwhiz.biz, the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org, and I'm on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and Twitter as @PPTWhiz.
And my name is Boris Christoph, and I run presentation agency 356 Labs and organize Present to Succeed conference. You can find us at 356labs.com and join us, please, at Present to Succeed in 2023 on April 28th in Sofia, Bulgaria. Thank you guys for having me, and thanks again. Once again, I want to do a huge shout out to the whole team here at 356 Labs for pulling the Present to Succeed event together this year. It was a crazy one.
As always, it was wonderful to have you join us for another presentation conversation. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com, where you can also send us episode suggestions, questions, or comments. Help us have more people join the conversation. Recommend the Presentation Podcast to your friends or leave a quick review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.